Thank you, Vince. Thanks, Vince and Rosemary, for hosting fellowship here in your home. It's a great blessing. Kathy sends her love to you all. Thanks you much for your prayers for her. If you would, take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we ended up last week. And today is Sunday. As Vince said, October 1st. We made it to October. Woo-hoo. And a great blessing to be with you, and very thankful to have this opportunity to share God's Word. Last week we looked at two different events related to the future. We looked briefly at the time of judgments, when there will be a time of judgment for the just and the unjust. All people of all time will be judged, and there will be separation, and those that are in the unjust category will be condemned to die again. We also looked at the day when Christ will come back, when God will send his Son from heaven, the gathering together, to gather all those who are born again, and all born again believers, those both living and those that have died. God's word said we will meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so we saw real clearly from the scriptures that because of what happens when a person gets born again, as well as what God said about born again ones concerning the judgments, or the wrath of God, as it's called, born again ones will not be in the judgments of the just and the unjust. And so we ended in 1 Corinthians 15 at the end of the chapter, where it says, therefore. And what's the therefore? Therefore. After all this great revelation from God's word about the gathering together, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our labor, the good we do in this life before Christ comes back, is not in vain or no purpose, empty. And this morning, as kind of a follow-up to last Sunday, we're going to look at the coming rewards that we have. And let's go to 2 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 5. Because we do need to understand this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And again, this is written to born-again believers. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, this might at first seem to be a contradiction from everything we just looked at last week and everything we've been talking about as far as judgments go. But if you keep your finger here, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Keep a finger here or a marker. I'll get there sooner or later. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Is everybody there? I am too. I finally made it. We're going to start in verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers, and ministers means servers. Servers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. He's saying we're ministers. We're ones that serve. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man, every woman shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So this is obviously not talking about judgment and separation that we talked about last week. For we're laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another build thereon. But let every man, every woman, everyone take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. There's two categories there. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work, everybody's work, shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. A reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Again, this is addressed to born-again believers, and we know from the scriptures that born-again ones, that we've already been judged in Christ. According to God's word, for born-again ones, there is therefore now no condemnation. We are righteous in God's eyes. We are, God's word says, holy and beloved. We are forgiven. We are accepted. We have already been given eternal life. So this is here is not talking about the judgment of the just and the unjust. And it's not talking about believers being judged, but rather it's the Christian believer's works. What we do in this life before the return of Jesus Christ. And those works that we do, the things we do in our lives until Christ comes back, they will either survive or they'll be burned. Verse 14 again. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. See, we're already saved. You can't get unsaved. It's eternal life, right? We're already saved. We have eternal life. This is talking about our works. The works we produce in our lives that are of the wood, hay, and stubble variety. Wood, hay, and stubble burns, right? It paints a great picture. But works that are found to be in that category are just burnt up. They're not worth anything. And so as a result, there'll be no compensation for those. That's the loss. The loss from those works are a loss of compensation or reward that could have been earned. On the other hand, the works, the labor that we do that are of the gold, silver, precious stone variety, those are not burned up. They remain, and for those, God's word says we will be compensated. We will receive a reward. So, back to 2 Corinthians 5. That we looked at a moment ago. Let's get a better understanding of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10 again. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Judgment seat is the Greek word bema. So many times we say we are going to appear before the bema. The Greek word bema means an official seat of a judge for legal matters and also for athletic events. And we know what happens in athletic events, right? Someone wins. They get a gold. They win the gold. They win the silver. They get this. They get that. Here in this verse, it's a judgment seat where rewards are distributed for our works. There are no rewards for the bad, woods, wood, hay, stubble, no, nothing. It's just gone, worthless. What we receive is for those, for the good. And again, the loss of rewards is the loss that we saw in chapter 3. For the good, gold, silver, precious stones, we're going to be rewarded at the Bema. We are going to be compensated, God says. So again, that verse. For we must all appear before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And what we receive for the bad is a loss of rewards that we could have had. So if you go back again to 1 Corinthians 3, we'll read those two verses again. This topic of God giving us rewards, compensating us for the life that we live now, is not talked about very much in Christian circles. What's talked about is judgment. What's talked about is if you do this wrong, you're going to go to hell. If you do this wrong, you're not going to be saved. And it's all that fear of judgment that's preached. But God's word's very clear here. Again, 1 Corinthians 3:14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And that word reward could even be translated compensation. If any man's work shall be burned, that's the wood, hay, stubble variety, he shall suffer loss, and it's a loss of rewards. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, because we're already saved. So we're going to be rewarded. We're going to be compensated for the good we do in this life. So no wonder 1 Corinthians 15 that we just read, that we started with, no wonder it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not to no purpose. No wonder it says in Hebrews 6, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God's keeping track of all this. We don't need to keep track of it. We certainly don't need to keep track of other people's works. We're going to be rewarded. We're going to be compensated for the good we do in this life at the Bema. Look at Romans 14. Romans 14:10. You know, a person could say, well, I really understand God's word. It says I'm saved and I have eternal life. I don't need to do nothing. I've made it. I got my ticket. Right, you know, you don't have to do anything. But God would like to compensate you. So in chapter 14 of Romans, verse 10 says, why are you judging your brother? Why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's that word Bema again. This section here in Romans 14 and 15, Reverend Cummins, in his work on A Journey Through Acts and the Epistles, gave a little summary of this section of Scripture in Romans 14 and 15. I'd like to read that summary that he said, that this section is about certain practical matters among the church, the born-again ones, who may have had different kinds of thinking with regard to certain practical matters. Those who were able were to bear the weaknesses of those who were unable, with a view to edification. I mean, we all know what edification means, right? Building up, as opposed to judging or tearing down. He goes on and says, they were to be accepting of one another and not to set a stumbling block before a brother. After all, they all had the same things from God through Jesus Christ. So let's read a little of this section. Start in verse 1 of Romans 14. Him that is weak in the faith, weak in believing, receive ye, or accept him. But not to doubtful disputations, For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eats herbs. Let not him that eateth all things, hey, you can eat anything, doesn't matter. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who are you that you judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God's able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another. This is a very important day. Another esteems every day alike. Doesn't matter what day it is. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eats to the Lord. He that giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we're the Lord's. We all belong to God. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you set at naught your brother? We shall all stand before the Bema of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Stop judging each other, God says. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, well, to him it's unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, meaning you're not walking in love, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. We're to be loving to one another, not like, hey, well, put a stumbling block in front of someone. Let not, verse 16, then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God's not in meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Let's build each other up, not put a stumbling block, not be critical, not be judgmental. For meat destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it's evil for that man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Have you faith? Do you have believing? Well, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of believing, for whatsoever is not of believing is sin. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. The Christian walk is not about you. It's all about me. It's all about me, what I need, what I want. It's the Christian walk is to be about our Father's business, to be about the affairs of our Father's family. In love, serve one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, by the love you have one for another. So it's interesting that verse will all appear before the Bema in this chapter, in chapter 14, but the context around it is stop judging everyone and don't put a stumbling block in front of someone. Let every one of us, verse 2, please his neighbor for his good to, there it is again, edification. Let's build one another up. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it's written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And if you like, you could sometime this week finish out and read the rest of chapter 15. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in light of the coming rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 16, everybody there? Verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, and he certainly did, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a what? A reward. I have a reward. But if against my will, well, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. God has still had me to be a minister and teach the gospel, so I guess I ought to do it willingly. Verse 17, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Well, what is my reward then? What is my reward for serving God and doing this? And you know, if you read in Corinthians and some of the other places in the New Testament, Paul never quit. If anybody had a good reason to quit and go, you know what? I've done my part, okay? I've done my part. I'm tired of being whipped. Five times, 40 stripes, save one. Three times with rods, shipwrecks, all this other stuff that you read about. If anybody had a good excuse to say, you know what? I'm pooped. I'm done. I'm tired. My back hurts. But he never quit. What is my reward then? And he'll give the answer to that coming up. Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law of God, of course, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? Look at what he says. So run that you may obtain. And here's the answer to what is my reward. Verse 25. And every man, every woman that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Crown's not in there. It's for emphasis. You like fill it in yourself. An incorruptible crown, so run that you may obtain. I therefore, verse 26, so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. I'm not shadow boxing here, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway from receiving the incorruptible crown, the reward, the compensation that God has promised for the good that we do. Isn't that a beautiful section? Mm-hmm. What is my reward? It's an incorruptible crown. Philippians chapter 3. So run that you may obtain. And how do we run so that we may obtain? We be about our Father's business, the affairs of our Father's household. We walk in love toward one another. We do our best to edify one another. We live according to what God says to do. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. We're not at the gathering yet. Philippians 3:13. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press towards the mark for the prize. So run that you may obtain. We shall be compensated. In chapter 4, talking about crowns, chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my beloved brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, and then he calls them my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul said, "You are my joy and crown." Remember what he said? What is my reward then? It's an incorruptible crown. Talking about how some people really strive in the physical realm to receive a corruptible crown, but we're in this thing to receive an incorruptible crown. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Talking about the Thessalonian believers, they were his joy and crown of rejoicing. Those that he had saved, those that he had brought to Christ. We will be rewarded, compensated for sharing God's word with people, for bringing salvation to someone, which is so simple. You know, confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead. Ever shared that with anybody? Yeah. James chapter 1. Hebrews James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man or woman that endures temptation, for when he is tried and endures the temptation, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." So here's a reference again to crowns. This is a crown of life. In 1 Peter chapter 5, this chapter starts off with Peter giving some exhortation to those who are elders. You know, in verse 2, feed the flock. In verse 3, don't be lords over God's heritage, but be an example to the flock. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear," guess who that is? That's our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. "When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away." Remember last week we were looking at how, well, I think it's in 1 Peter. Yeah, in 1 Peter 1, 4, "An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." Our rewards are being reserved in heaven for us. And here in Peter, it's a crown of glory. "So run that you may obtain." 2 Timothy chapter 4, there's one more reference to these crowns that I want to look at. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul wrote this by revelation. At the end of his life, he knew that he was going to die. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand." We're in 2 Timothy 4, 6. "I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith," the right way of believing. "Henceforth," verse 8, "there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." What are these crowns? It doesn't say specifically, so it's a good idea to not guess. The Greek word for crown is a wreath or garland which was given as a prize to victors in public games, or an ornament of honor. So I don't think we're all going to be wearing fancy hats. Well, let's read verse 7 again. "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." We know from God's word that we born again ones are going to be at the bema of Christ. God's word says, we read it in Corinthians, that everything we do, all the works, everything we do in a big pile, fire tries it. Anything that's not of the gold, silver, precious stones, just burned away. What's left is what we're rewarded for. And I think, you know, standing there at the Bema, might have to wait a long time for some people that have gone before us. I don't know how long it's going to take Paul to get all his rewards. I don't know. But those things that we've done in our lives that are godly, according to God's word, we're going to be compensated. We're going to be rewarded for that. And so, you know, we could get into a lot of speculation about, well, what these crowns are, but why don't we just follow Paul's example? So run that you may obtain. And so that when we get to the end of our lives, we can say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I didn't budge. I stayed put. Go to Romans 8, if you would. Three more places. Romans 8. Good old Romans 8, huh? Gee. All right, before we read a verse in Romans 8, just stop for a minute and think of this. God has already given each and every one of us His Spirit that's in us, that comes with all the rights, privileges, and abilities that we read about in the Scriptures. This Spirit that God's given us with the rights, privileges, and abilities to live this life. In addition, God has freely given us eternal life. We're not going to be in the judgments. We're going to be gathered together to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. And God's word says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And in addition to that, God has promised us new physical bodies, fashioned like Jesus Christ's glorious resurrected body. And God has declared that we will be living in an environment where there'll be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. The former things are passed away. What a hope we have to look forward to. And if that's not enough, God's promise to reward us for our faithfulness. What a God. On that glorious day, what a hope that we have. And you read in verse chapter 8, look at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. What a glory that's coming. Based on what God's word teaches, clearly, what God's word clearly teaches. I totally, wholeheartedly reject sermons of fear about Judgment Day. Preachings that try to get people to live a godly life by preaching fear of judgment coming. I totally reject that nonsense and that foolishness. It's a contradiction of God's word, what we've read the last 2 weeks. It's not only a contradiction of what God says, it's a slap in the face to God because it negates the completed work of Jesus Christ. We have all this because of Jesus Christ. Nothing we did. Someone just, you know, shared the new birth with us, how to get born again. We said, well, okay, here, you got it all. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. And, you know, that's why I, from time to time, have said, and I still believe it, the more that you know, understand, and believe what God has done for you personally, within the new birth, what God has made you to be, what God has done for you and in you, and the hope that we have, the more you know, understand, and believe that, you will live a godly life. You'll live for God out of gratitude and love for God for what He's done. Not out of fear of judgment. We're going to close in 1 Corinthians, but stop in Ephesians on the way. I thought of this verse when I was driving over here. Ephesians chapter 2. When I was growing up in, you know, a denomination, somewhere along the line they said that, you know, when the judgment day comes, everything you've ever done bad is going to be, I don't know, on a billboard or something, and everybody else that's ever lived is going to know what you've done. And it was, you know, geez. And then the only way I rationalized it was, well, I'll know everybody else's crap too. That didn't seem to help much, but look what God's promised us in Ephesians chapter 2, that in the ages to come, this age will end and a new age will start, but this says that in the ages, plural, to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, that we should live according to God's word, and God will compensate us for that. And so to close, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll read it one more time. The last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And maybe after what we looked at this morning, reading this verse 58, which I know is familiar, we've all read it many times, but maybe after what we've seen this morning in God's word, it might just be a little bit bigger. Therefore, my beloved brethren, 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So run that you may obtain. Father God, thank you for your wonderful word, that, Father, we could read, understand, and know the truth, and that, Father, we're not afraid or worried about the future, but you have given us a great hope, a lively hope, an inheritance undefiled that fades not away. And that, Father, you're so kind and good that you would, on top of everything else, reward us and compensate us for the good we do in this life. How thankful we are for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the completed work of salvation and redemption, and how we look forward to that day when you send him back and we will meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. So let's just get gathered now. We have a great hope to look forward to. And you know, let me just add this. The Bible says that when Christ returns, twinkling of an eye, that's how fast it's going to happen. This room will be empty. Instantly. And there will be, on that day, millions of people on the face of this earth that just disappear. And it will be, in many places, captured on video. There are CCTV cameras all over the place. There's security cameras everywhere. There are policemen that wear body cameras. There's video going on all the time. And people are like, just always videoing this and videoing that. It's going to be captured on video. It would be better for those that have an opportunity to see the video of the big disappearance. It would be so much better for them to be in the clouds. So there's a day coming, and we're a day closer today. So thank you for hosting fellowship here. And Thursday, Dan will be teaching here, Bible Thursday, right, Dan? Cool. Okay.